If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in a couple places this morning. We're going to be in the book of Acts in chapter 20, and in the book of Ezekiel in chapter 33. You can find those two places. What was the first Christmas present ever given? We just went through Christmas. You ever think about that? What was the first Christmas present ever given? Well, you know, you're probably thinking, well, Ron, why don't you tell us? Because obviously you've thought about it. I have. Well, the first Christmas present that was ever given was God gave his son to the world. That was the first Christmas present ever given. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know, that word begotten is a really interesting word in that particular verse. We sometimes just kind of brush over it, but begotten means, if you want to look up the meaning of it, it means single of its kind. One-of-a-kind son. You see, God gave his one-of-a-kind son for each one of us. That life-changing present that he gave to each one of us here. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, that verse that I just read, John 3:16, is especially for you this morning. And as I close today, at the end of the service, I'm going to give you an opportunity to pray a prayer, to ask Jesus into your heart, that you can know that you know that you know that you will spend eternity with Jesus Christ. And if you're here today and you're a believer, you're following Jesus Christ, you live each day for him, he's part of your life, well, then I believe this morning's teaching, you see, is especially for you and for me. I hope you brought your Bible today as we look into the Word. I've titled this morning's teaching, Know Something, K-N-O-W, something, know something, say something. We're going to be looking this morning at the life of the great man, Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul, our New Testament pastor. We often refer to him that way here at the church. And his passion for evangelism. He had a passion for evangelism, for sharing Jesus Christ each and every day. We're going to look at that this morning. Follow along as I read in verse number 25 of chapter 20 this morning. And indeed, now I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. Therefore, I testify to you this day, I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Paul spent 3 years teaching and preaching in the area of Ephesus. During the first 3 months when he was there, he met at the synagogue every day with the Jewish people, teaching the word. Well, they had finally had enough of it, and they threw the Apostle Paul out. They said, get out of our synagogue. We don't want you here anymore. They ran him out, so he left. And he went publicly, house to house, teaching the rest of those 3 years. But you see, when they ran him out of the synagogue at that time, I believe Paul said to those Jewish people right then, this very same thing that he said to the Jewish people in the synagogue at Corinth when he spent time there, and when they ran him out of the synagogue of that city. It says in Acts 18:6, but when they opposed him and blasphemed, he shook his garments and said to them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles. Paul says to them, and Paul is teaching these people right there in Ephesus and Corinth, if you miss eternal life now, after everything I've done to try to teach you, if you miss Christ, if you miss eternal life now, it's your fault. It's your responsibility. It's your own doing. I'm clear of that responsibility right now. You see, that's why Paul goes on to say what he does in verse number 26. It says, therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent. If you have your Bible and you can circle a word, that word innocent means clear. That I am clear of the blood of all men. For I have not shunned, if you want to circle that word, to keep back draw back, to conceal. You see, Paul had not concealed to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Paul says to these leaders of the church in Ephesus, I declare to you today, right now, that I am innocent of the blood of all of you. Why in the world would he say that? That's an amazing statement, because he did not hold back from declaring the whole purpose, the whole counsel of God. He didn't hold back anything. Now, what is the whole counsel of God, that the whole purpose of God that Paul is talking about here? What does he refer to? Well, he tells us in verse number 20, you can back up just a couple of verses, and it says, how I kept nothing back that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly from house to house. You see, after Paul got thrown out of the synagogue, like we talked about, he went publicly house to house, knocking on the door. They probably thought he was trying to sell a vacuum on the door. No, he was, knocking on the door, telling them about Jesus. Went house to house. What was he telling them? Well, number one, he was telling them about the message of a free gift. You see, we just talked about that when we started this morning in John 3:16. Well, he gave us that free gift. That's what Paul was telling all those folks when he went and knocked on the door. I want to tell you about Jesus and the free gift that's available for you. Jesus, number two, Jesus gives this free gift to anyone who embraces Jesus as their personal Savior. To everyone who trusts what Jesus did on the cross, shedding his blood as a payment for our sins. You see, folks, Paul was telling them, it doesn't matter whether you're Jewish or Greek or animal, vegetable, or mineral, it doesn't matter. You see, the only way you're going to get to heaven is trusting in what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross. That was his message. That's the message that Paul says, I'm innocent of the blood of all men because I've told everybody, what? Of this message. And that's the incredible statement. That's an amazing statement. Paul didn't say, I'm just innocent of the blood and people in Ephesus. No. That's not what he said. It said, I am innocent of the blood of all men and women that I've ever met. All the people that I've ever met locally and visited with and told them about Jesus. I'm absolved of any of them missing eternal life. I'm free of that spiritual responsibility. And when I read that and studied it, I said, that is an amazing statement that Paul would make. That's an amazing statement. That says that every single person that Paul ever met, there wasn't a single person that ever crossed his path that he hadn't taken the opportunity to talk about Jesus. Wow. Wow. That's an incredible statement that Paul made. You know, I wish I could make that statement about my life, but I can't. You know, there's been a lot of opportunities that I can remember back where I had that opportunity where I could have stepped in and shared Christ with someone, but I didn't. I'm trying to make it my goal in 2021 to do better. I may not reach everyone that crosses my path, but I want to do better. I want to make this the year of evangelism. Folks, the time is short. We can look around and see what the world is like. The world's not falling apart, it's falling into place. Time is short. We need to be sharing with others the gospel of Jesus. We see here Paul could say that. You see, he had that passion for evangelism. Paul had the passion for sharing Christ. Didn't matter who he was with, where he was, what the consequences were. If you read further into the book of Acts and look into the further chapters, you'll see Paul goes through a lot of persecution. He's thrown up in front of government leaders and put on trial in jail. He didn't shrink back from sharing his faith. He had that passion for evangelism. He didn't care what it was going to be like, but he spoke about Jesus to whoever he saw. That's what Paul is trying to impress upon these Ephesian elders. He's saying, hey, guys, you want to be servants of Christ like I am? You want to see God in an awesome way? He's saying there are certain non-negotiables, you see, that have to exist in your life. And there are certain non-negotiables that have to exist in our life. Well, what are those? Well, number one, there's an obedience to God. That's non-negotiable. When I came here to Calvary Chapel, Pompano Beach, 8 years ago, I can't believe it's been 8 years. 8 years ago, I came as a worship leader, doing the best I could on my guitar, which wasn't very good. But I was a worship leader. That's what I had trained to do, not play guitar, but to be a worship leader. And I led worship for a while, and Pastor Ken said, Ron, I see something else in your life, not worship, but pastoral. And I said, no, you're wrong. That's what I've done all my life. That's what I went to school for. Probably just threw it out of key. And it took me a while to step back and say yes to God. It took God a couple months to hit me over the head with a 2x4 saying, Ron, are you going to do what I'm asking you to do? And leave that which you're comfortable with and go into another zone that you're not comfortable with? Number two, we have to have absolute surrender to God. That goes with obedience. If we're going to have obedience, we need to be absolutely surrendered to Him. Are we walking where He's telling us to walk? Are we doing what He's telling us to do? And number three, there has to be a passion in your life and a passion in my life for wanting to tell people about Jesus Christ. So maybe you're asking, Ron, so what? So what? What does it mean for me today? What difference does it make in my life in 2021? I've just touched on that a few minutes ago. We are living in what we would look at and say it's the end times. We don't know when Christ is going to come back. We don't know when that harpazo, that rapture is going to happen. But we want to be sharing the gospel. That's what it means for each one of us. That's the so what. We need to be sharing the gospel with everyone that we can, as often as we can. Because remember, things are not falling apart. They're falling in place. Why do you think Paul had such a passion for sharing Christ? Why did he have that passion? Well, if we can figure that out, maybe we can copy a little bit of what Paul had in his life. I think there's two reasons that count for his passion. Number one is that I think Paul genuinely cared about people. I really do believe that. I think he really cared whether people had eternal life. I believe that. I think it really concerned him that there were people in his world that were going to miss eternity with Jesus. He was concerned about that. But I think there was a second reason. There's even far more compelling that drove the passion for evangelism in Paul's life. The second reason was that he carried a spiritual responsibility for every person he met. What? He carried a personal responsibility for each person that he met. A responsibility to share with them about Jesus, to tell them that Jesus was the only way to get to heaven, to tell them that the only payment for wrongdoing that Jesus would accept was not good works or religious activity or human effort, but it was the blood of Jesus. He had that responsibility to tell them. He was charged with that responsibility. And then as he said in the book of Acts, once he had told people the message in that group about Christ, he was now free of any accountability with what they did with that information. Paul felt strongly. And I think every day he went out, knocking on doors, walking around the world. He went out with the goal of not making a huge amount of money, not to be some big shot in the world, not laying up power or possessions, but he went out to tell Jesus about Jesus to all those that he met. To discharge that responsibility, that spiritual responsibility that he felt on his shoulders. That's what drove his passion. Let's talk about that just for a minute. I want to make sure this morning that you understand that it's really a biblical teaching that we have this responsibility. I ask you to turn to Ezekiel. Ezekiel 33. Ezekiel 33. I believe it's one of the most convicting passages in the Bible. Starting in verse number 1, follow along as I read. Once again, a message came to me from the Lord, prophet Ezekiel here. Son of man, give your people this message. When I bring an army against a country, the people of that land chose one of their own to be a watchman. When the watchman sees the enemy coming, he sounds the alarm to warn the people. Then if those who hear the alarm refuse to take action, it is their own fault if they die. They heard the alarm but ignored it, so the responsibility is theirs. If they had listened to the warning, they could have saved their lives. But if the watchman sees the enemy coming and doesn't sound the alarm to warn the people, he is responsible for their captivity. They will die in their sins, but I will hold the watchman responsible for their deaths. You see, it gets really personal with Ezekiel right here. Well, God says, I made you, Ezekiel, a watchman. Over who? The people of Israel. And when I say unbelievers, they will perish if you haven't warned them. I'm going to hold you accountable for their lives. But you see, if you warn them and they choose not to change and they still perish, you've exonerated yourself, Ezekiel. Now, what does that mean to every person that I failed to share Christ with? Does that mean that they're all condemned to hell, that they're going to have an eternity in hell? No, that's not what it means at all. No, not at all. God is big enough and powerful enough that he will send someone else to talk to them, to share the gospel, to plant those seeds. But if we take that opportunity to share, if we spread those seeds when we're able to, that's all Jesus asks of us. That's the responsibility. Now maybe you're thinking, hey, Ron, this is probably your last time teaching. I can't believe you try to motivate people to go out and share their faith by guilt or obligation. I can't believe you'd do that. Well, I'm not. Let me just say this. I didn't write the word. I'm just reading what the scriptures say. I'm just telling you how I interpret it to the best of my ability, and I'm telling you when I read the Bible, I see a sense of responsibility on you and me to share Christ. I see that responsibility. Well, why did God say to Ezekiel what he said? Why did Paul say, I am now clear of my responsibility? What responsibilities was he talking about? If it wasn't his responsibilities to tell the truth about Jesus. So here's the question. Why don't we see more people out there sharing Christ? Why don't we see more people? Why aren't we seeing more people when we meet sharing Jesus, the story of Jesus, the life of Jesus, the gospel message? Why don't we see it? Why don't we see more believers with that kind of passion that Paul had? I think that's a great question, and I think it's a question that we need to look at this morning, that why is that reason? I think one of the major reasons is I believe many people doubt what the Bible says about people who don't believe in Jesus. I believe that. Now, I'm not saying in this church here, but I'm saying in churches worldwide, there are people sitting in the pew that doubt what the Bible says is really going to happen. There are people sitting in churches all across America today that doubt if you go out of this world without Jesus, that there's no other way to get to heaven. They doubt that. But you see, if we're going to have a passion for sharing Christ, we need to be absolutely convinced that every person that we meet is headed for disaster in eternity. We have to make sure that we realize that, and if those people's only hope and their only way out is Jesus. You see, if we have any doubt about what the Bible says and what the Bible teaches about sharing our faith, and that we have a responsibility to do that, if we have any doubt about that, it will undermine our passion for sharing Jesus. It will undermine it. And then it will soften our passion for sharing Jesus. And then finally, it will dissipate our passion for sharing Jesus. If we don't believe 110% of what is in the Word about those who don't believe Jesus. John 3:36 says this, "Anyone who believes in God's Son has eternal life. Anyone who doesn't obey the Son will never experience eternal life, but remains under God's angry judgment." John 14:6, Jesus told him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me." If there was any doubt about what was going to happen to people who go out of this world without Jesus, listen to what Paul says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. He says, "God will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. They will be punished with everlasting destruction." What does that mean? Well, folks, it means that every person that we pass on the street, every person that you pass in the shopping mall, every person you pass in Target, Publix, Albertsons, whatever it is, 7-Eleven, in your neighborhood, in your school, on the bus, everybody that works with you, every relative that you have in your family, if they don't know Jesus, they're headed for disaster in eternity. That's what it means. You and I have the information they need to change. And maybe when we give them that information, they're not ready to respond just then. But you see, we're planting seeds at that time. We're planting seeds. We're not always going to see that person come to Jesus Christ if we ask them, "Do you want to accept?" Not right now. But we planted a seed. Now the Holy Spirit comes in and softens their heart to that time when they will receive. But what is our responsibility at that time? Is it just to forget about? No, it's to pray for them. It's to pray for them. We were on vacation over in the Fort Myers area for a week. And we went to a restaurant one night. And we sat down and we had a server. She came over and she was extremely talkative. We knew more about Emily by the time we were done than I know about my kids, I think. And Emily just was very free and open with us and just really bubbly. And wow, what a great person. We found out she was going to be a forest ranger and she was babysitting during the day and working at night. And she was a great person. She just was really, really nice. At the end of the time when I had paid the check and we were getting ready to leave, I said, "Emily, let me ask you a question. Where do you go to church?" And I expected something that I didn't get. I expected, "Oh, I go to such and such," because I really thought she was a believer. Guess what she said? "Oh, I don't go to church. I don't need that stuff. I don't believe in it." You know? I said, "Wow, Emily, there's so much to talk about." But I didn't have time then because it was time to leave. I said, "Emily, there's a great church that we visited." Now, this wasn't here. That was over there, so don't send me cards and letters about this. I said, "There's a church over there I believe you'd really like. It's full of young people. The pastor's young." She said, "I'll try it. I'll think about it." That's all I could do was just spread a seed, plant a seed at that time. That's all I could do. But we're praying for Emily. Remember her in your prayers. "Emily, I haven't heard from her. I have no idea where she's at. But we can pray for her." You see, that's our responsibility, that we pray for those that we plant those seeds. Several years ago, my family and I were getting ready to leave for Christmas vacation. We were packing the car. We were going to drive. I don't even remember where we were going. And Francis, who lived across the street, rode his bicycle across. And I was on my front porch, and Francis came over. And I said, "Francis, how you doing, buddy?" He says, "I'm okay." Francis had been diagnosed with a brain tumor. Francis knew that he wasn't going to have a lot of time left. And we got to talking and spending some time on the porch before we were leaving. And I said, "Francis," I said, "are you ready for heaven?" And Francis said, "Oh, I hope so." I said, "Well, Francis, you can make sure that you know that you know that you know." And on that day, Francis prayed to receive Jesus Christ on my front porch. And today, Francis is in heaven, dancing around. Probably had met my parents and said, "I met the screwiest guy down there." They said, probably, "You know, I know who that is." Probably met my mother-in-law by now, and she said, "Oh, how could you live across the street from that nut, John?" You know? He's in heaven today because of something I did know. I just asked a question. The seeds have been planted. I just had the opportunity to pray the prayer. We do convalescent ministry, my wife and I. Well, we don't right now because of COVID, but, you know, there was a gentleman that came, and he would sit in the back. We do a full service with worship, and that's what my worship has come down to. I play for people who sleep all the time, you know. Probably a good thing that they sleep while I pray. We had a day of worship, and I was getting ready to leave, and I saw Larry sitting in the back in his wheelchair, and that day we had had a group of people come in and give blankets to a lot of people, little lap blankets. And Larry had gotten one, and Larry was sitting out there, and he had been coming to our service for many weeks, and people had gone up to him, talked to him, and gained a friendship with him, and asked him along the way, "Larry, would you like to accept Jesus Christ?" "Not interested. Don't want to know about it." I went out that day as we were getting ready to leave. I said, "Larry, how you doing, buddy?" He says, "I'm okay." Larry's 99 years old. I said, "Larry, would you like to receive Jesus Christ?" Larry said, "Yes, I would." Larry prayed the prayer right then and accepted Jesus into his heart. 99 years old. A couple months later, he turned 100. And a couple months later, guess what? He's in heaven today. Probably had met my parents, and he said, "I met the goofiest guy down there." Larry's in heaven today. Are you sharing the word of God? You know, when we left the restaurant, when I talked about Emily, we have these little cards here at the church. It says, "Got hope? Hope for you, not net." There's a bunch of them out on the table out there. I left one of these with the bill. I left a good tip, by the way. Don't leave these if you don't leave a good tip. Don't be a bad witness for Jesus. Don't leave this instead of a tip. It's a great tip, but it's not what they're looking for. I left this with Emily, and I hope she went on it. Hopeforyou.net. On that website, our church has three websites: the church website, the radio website, and the hopeforyou.net website. This is a strictly evangelistic website. If you're on our email list about 2 minutes ago, you would have received an email with the link to this. It's on your email right now through the magic of technology. This is just a simple way just to share your faith. Very simple. There's about an 11-minute video on that website. Pastor Ken has a closing message. The narrator on that website, you might recognize his voice. All you got to do is hand it out. So it's got hope, searching for answers. You don't know who this might touch. Just give it to somebody. We can share our faith that way too. Sometimes that's all it is, just planting a seed. That's all it is. I had the opportunity to lead a lady to Christ. Pastor has talked about John's ex-wife. I didn't do anything special. I didn't plant any seeds. She had been asked over and over and over. if she wanted to receive Jesus. When I asked her that day, she said, yes, she received Jesus that day. I said, go in and tell John. And she ran in there and told John, John, I just accepted Jesus. John's in heaven today, and we'll see him one day, and he'll see his ex-wife in heaven one day because she accepted Jesus.